people. I want to apologize in advance for rambling and putting anybody to sleep. And it's okay if you fall asleep, because I've fallen asleep during service too. Well, this is loud. I think the last time I was this nervous was my wedding day. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Let's read God's word together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, I'm not a professional or, pastor or anything like that. So I felt like I needed to just focus on one sermon rather than try and tackle like a whole chapter or anything like that. And when I started preparing for this sermon, if you'll call it a sermon, maybe I'm just sharing random things with you guys. I kind of didn't know where to start other than, all right, it had to be Christ-centered because it's Christmas Eve, and I had to make sure I didn't make anything up. So everything that you're hearing, not everything, most things you're hearing have been reviewed by Pastor Albert and my wife. So hopefully they're good reviewers. And I thought this verse was really, really powerful because it tells us that Jesus is more than just a baby. Jesus is more than just the reason for the season. And I find myself easily forgetting who Jesus really is, especially throughout the year, until Christmas when everybody is celebrating Jesus as if they haven't seen him all year. So I wanted to focus on the four aspects that Jesus is referred to, the four names within this verse. The first one is Wonderful Counselor. When you hear the word Wonderful Counselor, I don't know if different thoughts come to mind, but I don't really put those two words together. When I think of the word counselor, I think of a couple of different things. So everybody take a second, close your eyes, think of the word counselor, and maybe some other words pop through, pictures of people or a scene. Okay, for me, when I first heard the word counselor, I thought of someone talking to a guy with glasses who has a notebook, writing down what this person's saying, like a psychologist. And that's the common view of counselor, right? Or a school counselor, or a camp counselor, or a guidance counselor. And when I started to read deeper into what counselor means in the Bible, or what is referred to, I realized that I was a little off target, because what we perceive as counselor is formed by modern culture and history. Luke 14:31 says, "Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him?" So then I realized, okay, counselors that are being referred to in the Bible are war strategists. We're talking people who make decisions which impact lives in the country. So the equivalent today would probably be Obama's, his cabinet, his chief of staff, and everyone who's giving him advice. This unique situation was kind of like a king who only has a small army, and he's trying to fight an army that's twice the size. How do you do that? Of course, you don't just do it randomly, or you don't do it without a plan. He needs these counselors' wisdom. So I want you guys to try and recall different people in your life or different things that advise you, that give you guidance or perhaps reason for the things you do. Could it be your parents? Could it be your wife or your husband? Could it be yourself, your instincts? You only rely on yourself. It could be anything, right? So here's an example in the Bible of the first version of bad counsel. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So this is the first example from the Bible of bad advice, bad counsel. This is a story that began man's fall. And essentially, the man and the woman listened to the serpent. The serpent was not something that was worth their attention, something that was worth listening to. When I think about wonderful, and I try and reverse it and find the opposite, I found out, and there's an antonym dictionary online that means the opposite of the word. The opposite of wonderful is ordinary. Serpent's pretty ordinary, right? It's just a snake. And counsel, the opposite of counsel is uninformed or misguidance. So I would say this is ordinary misguidance. Who is this wicked counselor of yours who plots evil against the Lord? The Bible talks about a lot of different sources from which people get advice or from which people make decisions to do things. And as I was preparing for this Bible study, well, no, not Bible study, sermon, I realized that there's everything that I was looking up and finding all over the Bible, it was connected to each other. It all made sense. And I was like, why? There isn't really any book that I've ever read quite like this where it makes sense. And then I realized how amazing it was to find things that connected to each other. And that's part of what's wonderful. When you think wonderful, it has to be awe-inspiring, it has to amaze you, and it has to really move you. So an example of good counsel from the Bible is, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? So this is kind of like my life. And as of more recent years, in terms of who I listen to and what I decide to do in my life, I've realized that I've given in to what America tells us. You know, you want to work hard, you want to get a good job, you want to make as much money as you can, you want to raise 2.5 children or whatever it is, and you want to get a big house. And as of late, I've been really stressed at work. I've realized that I've been really tired, and I've been asking myself, why am I working so hard? And I came across this verse. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in, torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So if you're going to listen to anyone, if you're going to take advice from anyone, you really want to make sure that that advice is, it's sound, it's solid, and then it's not going to steer you wrong. And this verse is saying that God is the only one who can give you advice that will never fail you. And not only is he a God who gives perfect counsel and advice, but he is a mighty God. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king. I'll keep that up for you guys to read. It doesn't go back. Thank you. So when I was thinking about Christmas, and I was seeing how like everybody was referencing Jesus as being born as a baby. He's not just a baby, though. He is God coming down to earth and sacrificing himself for us because he loves us. And there's a movie, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with, I'm not going to show the clip, but the movie's called Talladega Nights. And the main character in that movie refers to Jesus as baby Jesus. And he says he only likes Jesus as baby Jesus, as 5.8-pound baby Jesus. And I thought that was really ridiculous to try and contain him as a baby, as God, because he has the power and the might to do anything. He created this world, and he gave us life. With that, you should definitely realize that his counsel is sound. You would only listen to someone who has the authority and the power to follow through with whatever he tells you. And that's why, you know, Jesus is referred to as Mighty God, because he has that authority, he has that power, he has that strength. I think to my own life, and as I was preparing for this, I found my testimony from a couple of years ago when Pastor Albert asked me to give my testimony during service, Thanksgiving service, and I was really nervous that day too. Just writing down my whole life on a couple of pieces of paper is really hard, but I realized that as I was writing out where I was before my brother brought me to church, I realized that I was a different person compared to who I am now. Probably if God didn't intervene in my life and bring my brother to church and then use him to bring me to church, I wouldn't know that it's actually good to care about people. It's good to love others. And it means much more to think about others more than yourselves. I would probably be somewhere I'm not even surprised if I'd be in a ditch somewhere, because I never cared about school. I just wanted to, you know, play video games all day, and I just wanted to do anything that pleased me. And I realized that would never have changed if God didn't intervene in my life. And he intervened in a really, really powerful way, in that he allowed me to not only meet God through church, but then I fell away from God, and I was in some very broken relationships with girls that caused me to lose myself, to hurt many people, and to really make me realize that I was making really big mistakes in my life. So he is that mighty God that saved me from myself. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. I don't know what God may have done in your life, but definitely take the time to reflect upon how mighty God really is. If you have trouble thinking about that, think about how amazing it is to have a building to gather in right now. Think about how amazing it is to have electricity. If it weren't for God, we wouldn't have any of these things. We need to really recognize God for who he is, for how powerful he is, and respect his power. Just like how we respect thunder. Like if thunder's going to hit like a couple of feet from you, are you going to flinch? Of course you are. The next aspect is God as everlasting Father. So when I thought of this, I thought of my own father, and I don't know what everyone's relationships with their own fathers are, but for most of my life, I felt like my father was a failure. I felt like he let me down. I never looked up to my father. He is a very traditional Chinese father, very passive. He worked all day. I never saw him. And I really, you could say that I didn't have much of a relationship with him. So I didn't have a father figure in my life for most of my life. And I think this, the everlasting father aspect of Christ really personally reminds me that there's more to life than your earthly father. There's more to life than who you see as the one who raised you or didn't raise you or took care of you or worked for you. There's someone to look up to who will never fail you, who will always be there for you. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." When I was looking through for verses about Jesus as our God, I found a lot of different verses. And God refers to us as his children. And when I think about my relationship with my dad, it wasn't until recent years that I really came to terms with the fact that he is the way he is and that he can't help it and that I shouldn't blame him. But because of God, that I can still love him and care for him. And because I didn't have a father figure in my life, I didn't really have someone that I would fear or respect. And this verse reminded me that God is that father figure, that he is someone who will counsel me, that has my best interests in mind. Matthew 23:9 says, "And don't address anyone here on earth as Father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual Father." So this is not a verse that says to you that your father shouldn't be called your father. This just says that you should not look to your own earthly father for the foundation of your faith. God should be the foundation of your faith. And the way that you can think about it is, in the United States, people call Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, the forefathers of freedom of this nation. Well, the forefather of our faith of creation is Jesus. It is God. He is the father of our of everything that we are. Isaiah 63:16 says, "Surely you are still our father. Even if Abraham and Jacob would disown us, Lord, you would still be our father. You are our redeemer from ages past." So this verse kind of brought it all together for me. And it really helped me to come to terms with the fact that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never fail us. He'll never wrong us. He'll always be there for us, and he will redeem us. No matter how broken we are, no matter how bad we screw up, he'll always be there with open arms to welcome us. The next section is a Prince of Peace. So when I was looking for verses for Prince of Peace, it was interesting because I was also reading Isaiah at the time. Job. Job 9:33 says, "If only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together." Job 16:21 says, "I need someone to mediate between God and me, as a person mediates between friends." So for those of you who aren't sure what a mediator is, a mediator is someone who brings healing to a relationship or a conflict, restores a relationship or conflict, and finds peace. And this was a really challenging aspect to think about for me because I've been struggling with a lot of issues in relationships lately. One of them being my neighbor upstairs. So every morning at 6, anywhere between 5 and 6 a.m., I hear a loud cell phone that sounds like it's on the floor vibrate. So it's like, and it like when I wake up, I feel like it's like a rude awakening, and I just want to like shoot something. I don't know. I feel like extremely violent and extremely angry. Yes, I get really angry. You don't want to see me angry. It's a little messy. And it's been really hard to deal with this situation day in and day out. And Mary and I sleep with earplugs in. It's sad. At work, there's been a lot of different situations where I've had to tell people who I work with that they're not getting promoted. I'm managing a couple of people, and that's not easy news to tell someone that they're not getting promoted. It's actually a conversation I don't like to have, telling people bad news. But I had to because it wasn't time yet, and they didn't meet the criteria. So instantly, I saw their face like look really disappointed, and I don't know whether me or themselves or whatever. And as soon as that happened, I felt like there was this gap between me and them. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure everyone has relationships where they have struggles with. There's a broken relationship in every person in this room. We wouldn't be humans if there weren't broken relationships. Psalm 34:14 says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it." When I read this verse, I laughed because it says, search for peace and work to maintain it. Like, you have to look for peace. Like, peace doesn't like arrive on your doorstep via Amazon Prime or something. Like, it doesn't come to you. And you have to work to maintain it. I mean, it's hard enough trying to not like go upstairs to my neighbor and yell at them and not like embarrass them in front of their kids. But like, actually I have to work for it. But then I realized that God is challenging us because it's for our own good, and that he's given us his word and his promise that he will make all things good in his time. He will bring peace to everything and restore everything in his time. So I thought about my situation a little bit, and I thought it would be best that I keep quiet with my neighbors for now until I stop being violent and calm down and find a way where I can resolve things with them, because I acted brashly one morning at like 4 a.m. or something and wrote them a really stern letter and then posted it on their door, and I said, please respect your neighbors and don't leave your cell phone on the floor, turn it off, vibrate, or I don't know. I wrote it in red ink and on this with a giant marker, and I pasted it on the door, and then a couple days later he saw me in the hall and he was like, why'd you put that paper on my door? Don't you know that I've been living here for 15 years and I've been paying my mortgage? And then at that point, I really wanted to do something that I wouldn't have been proud of, actually would have been embarrassed about, but I actually kept my mouth shut and I just said, I asked him whether or not he could put his cell phone on top of a towel, and he kind of ignored me and just kept on complaining to me. And he just kind of walked away. And I just kept myself from not saying anything because I knew for every word that I said, it would make it worse. So, yeah, that's where we are with my coworker. I let him think it through a day or two, and I talked to him again, and he feels better. Obviously, he would have wanted to be promoted earlier, but I couldn't, and I was just frank with him. So not every... Jesus isn't going to solve every one of your problems right now, but he is going to help you and lead you towards a way that would glorify him and really show you what is the best solution. Job 19:25 says, and I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. So Jesus is our Redeemer. He will redeem. He will restore. He will make better everything in our lives. And in the end, he will stand on the earth. So in the end, it's going to be God. In the end, God will resolve everything. So why not recognize him now? Why not follow him and listen to what he says now? Why not seek him to help find peace in your lives? Romans 5:11 says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So earlier, Job 16:21 says, I need someone to mediate between God and me as a person mediates between friends. So that person is Jesus. And he is that mediator. He is that mediator for me in my relationship with my neighbor because he kept my mouth shut. If I wasn't reading this verse or preparing for to speak with you guys tonight, I might have gone upstairs and done something crazy, or I would be in jail or something. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty crazy if you guys know me. And the bottom line is, I'm not trying to throw a lot of random things at you tonight. This is a lot to take in. God is a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace. What I'm trying to tell you is, he's more than anything that you have ever thought of. Don't limit God. Don't limit Jesus. As I was preparing for this Bible study, I started with just one verse, and I just started to look around. I used Bible Gateway. I used search for different words, and I was literally looking at probably like 60, 50-something verses, and everything just tied back to the same theme and tied together, and I was just like, there's not one bad thing that I just read, and I was just amazed, and I realized that I missed that. I realized that I should be reading God's word more because it is good for me and he is speaking directly to me. And I was really worried that you guys would not understand what I'm saying because it's so random, it's all over the place, I'm not focusing anywhere, or you're falling asleep on me, but I really thank God that he uses the opportunity to speak to me personally because, like, I was amazed at the amount of truth and the amount of wisdom that is in his word. So I want to challenge you guys every day to rediscover Jesus, to expand your minds to what your perception of Jesus is, and to be open to the fact that he's more than meets the eye. Don't wait for Christmas time just to celebrate Christ, because every day is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to meet Christ, to have your life changed, just like my life was changed. He gives us good and perfect counsel, and it is our source of strength. He's greater than any man-made God. He's eternal, and he's that Father we can always count on. He's the creator of our faith, and he is our Prince of Peace. Let's all stand up. Let's close our eyes. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." I want you guys to receive a blessing, and I don't know what's gone on in your lives today, through this year or through your lives, but this world is really dark out there. There's constantly things that are putting us down, things that are making us feel horrible, things that are cursing us. Maybe it's someone who's angry on the street. Maybe it's a family member saying negative things, or it's a situation that's really bringing us down, or it's a broken relationship, or it's a difficult situation. Things that really are challenging us and making it hard to really enjoy or smile. Maybe it's feelings of despair or loneliness or sadness or anger. There's a lot of different things in this world that bring us down. But you, Father God, Jesus, you lift us up. So I want every person here to put both their hands up. And the reason why we want to put our hands up is because God is offering to give us a blessing. So when you're receiving something, you have to put out your hands to receive it. So I want you to stretch your hands to heaven and receive this blessing from God. Father God, may you bless us with your love, with your truth, with your mercy, Father God. God, we need your grace. We need you to forgive us for all that we've done and all the things that we have yet to do. Father God, bless us with this unending love that only you can give. Father God, bless us with the advice that we need so much in our lives, with the direction that we need in our lives. Bless us with the healing that we need in our hearts, in our bodies, in our relationships, in our spirits. Bless us with your blood that washes away all these things in our lives and cleanses us and makes us new again. Bless us with family and friends. Bless us with the truth that is in your word and the good counsel that can only come from you, and the awesome wonder that it is to have a relationship with you, Father God. And I pray that you bless us of the continued desire to learn to know you more and more. Whether we know you today or not, I pray that you bless those who do know you with a reignited desire and passion to seek you more. For those who don't know you yet, I pray that you bless them with the desire to know you, and that you really bless their lives with your truth and your love and your grace, and use each and every one of us here to show that truth and love and grace to them, Father God. So I just continue to pray and ask for your blessings to pour down upon us, despite how much this world curses us and brings us down. You are the only one who will bless us with your goodness, Father God. So we lift up this Christmas season to you. We lift up every day of our lives to you. And we realize that every day is an opportunity to call on your name, to recognize you, and to learn more about you and have our lives changed. In Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.